You know, right back at the beginning of this amazing series called Be Rich that we've been doing over these last few weeks, I asked this question. What would you give for a life marked out by love, balance, wonder, patience, gentleness, kindness, endurance, and with a sense of purpose? How much would that mean to you? How much would that be worth to you? A lot, right, I think. How much would you pay for that? How much of an investment would you be prepared to make for that kind of life? You know, so often we run after the things that we hope are going to bring us the kind of life we think we want. We pursue things, we make investments of the really precious commodities in our lives into things that ultimately don't bring the kind of life that's marked out by those qualities. The second key idea I talked about when I launched this series 3 or 4 weeks ago, I talked about how we can invest those really precious commodities in things that really mean something. You know, we all have these precious commodities in our lives. We have our hope, our time, our energy, our passion, our material resources. Where are you investing those things? Where are you making deposits of love, time, energy, passion, hope, and material resources? Are those investments, those deposits, giving you a return on your investment of the kind of life you would really want? The kind of life that is marked out by love, passion, kindness, the strength to endure when things are tough, purpose, and faith? Because those commodities that we have to invest are finite. There's only so much of them that any of us have. And so it's right to ask the question, what's the return on our investment? In this series, we've been looking at how we can invest these really precious commodities into things that really matter. How we invest them so that we build a life marked out by true riches, the things that truly make a life rich, faith, love, purpose, and so on. We've talked about investing the precious commodity that is our hope in things that really matter. We've talked about investing our material resources in things that make a difference through our giving and our generosity. And we've talked about investing our time and our energy in serving. And today we finish by talking about the investment of love. What's the greatest expression of love that you've ever received? Or what about a really great expression, or just even a simple expression of love? What about something that really moved you, or that came at just the right moment when something was getting you down and someone spoke just the right word of encouragement or words of love to you? Earlier this year, we had the chance to be away for a week as a family. And on the second full day of that holiday, we were sitting on the beach. And as we were sitting there on the beach, a runner came by, jogging down the sand. He had a rucksack on, and as he jogged along, he was unaware that his rucksack had come undone. And as he passed by us a little bit further down the beach, a towel dropped out of his bag, and he didn't notice he carried on running. So we looked at each other, and we said, oh, what should we do? So my wife turned to me, and she said, well, you run sometimes. You should go and tell him that that's dropped out of his bag. Well, thanks very much, I thought. So anyway, I did. It was a lovely thing to do. I ran after him to let him know that stuff was falling out of his bag. But he had headphones on, so he couldn't hear as I shouted at him. So I ran faster to catch up and to try and catch up. And as I nearly caught up with him, I caught my foot on a rock and I tripped over and ended up in a heap on the sand, totally undignified, everybody looking at me. So I've got to be honest, I gave up. The foot was really painful, but as I hobbled back down the beach, utterly humiliated, I got back to my family, and as I looked down at my foot, there was blood coming out through my trainer. Trying to help someone had resulted in a bleeding foot. Now, as well as telling me what to do, my wife is also a nurse, and she told me that I needed to go to the hospital and get it sorted, so we headed off to minor injuries. So I had scans and I had the wound cleaned and all that kind of stuff. And it turned out that it was a minor fracture of the big toe. But it was cleaned up and bandaged up by a really lovely nurse. And we talked about COVID. This was just after the easing of those first very strict lockdown measures. So they'd been really busy with all of that. And as she was dealing with my toe and cleaning it all up, another nurse, who was clearly her boss, came over and basically told her that she should be doing it all differently. And to be honest, she wasn't terribly helpful. She certainly wasn't terribly diplomatic, and she wasn't really very kind to that first nurse. Now, she may well have been right, of course, but it was just the way she spoke to that first nurse that I thought was pretty unnecessary. And I struggle, to be honest, I struggle to hold back in those kind of situations. So I simply said to the boss nurse, I simply said thank you, and then proceeded to tell the boss nurse how amazing this first nurse had been, how her manner had put me at ease and how lovely she'd been to me. And then when it was all done and the supervising nurse had gone away and the first nurse was signing me out, I just turned to her and I said, thanks so much for all your help. You've been great. Thank you for being so nice to me, and thank you for all that you've been doing during this COVID season. I want you to know it's really appreciated. And she just looked at me, and she got really emotional, and she said, you know, very few people ever say that to us. And it really wasn't much. It didn't cost me anything. It was just a simple act of kindness and love, but it clearly had a big impact, a simple thing with a huge impact. And it struck me as I reflected on that afterwards that that is the power and impact of thankfulness. And not just the power and impact of thankfulness, but actually the impact of love too. Because a demonstration of love can really be that simple. Because love isn't just that romantic thing that we often think of. It's way more than that. And love doesn't have to be too complicated. Often it is really simple. But love does require intention. And it often requires sacrifice. You know, today I want to dig in to how we can be rich in love. And to help us with that, I want to turn to an eyewitness to what I think is the greatest act of love the world has ever seen. Someone who was so impacted by what he saw that he dedicated his life to being rich in love and in trying to inspire others to do the same. His name was John. And he was a bystander to the life of Jesus. And he wrote down an account of the life of Jesus. And he was involved in leading the first churches. And he also wrote letters to people in those churches. And it's the first of those three letters that are in the New Testament part of the Bible that we're going to look at today. Because in this letter, John is really concerned about love. And we're just going to look at a few verses in chapter 4 of that first letter. But in just those verses and the ones around them in that letter, John uses the word love 27 times. Love is what John has on his mind, and he is desperate for his readers to understand more about it. So if you want to follow along with John's letter, you can look it up in a Bible if you've got one, the first letter of John chapter 4, or you can follow along in a YouVersion live event, the YouVersion Bible app that we love around here, that you can get on your phone or your tablet, has a YouVersion live event right now for Andover Baptist Church for this live stream, and you can follow along there too. Now, in the previous section of his letter, before we get to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, in the previous section, John has explored the practical applications of love, and he's connected it to eternal life. He said, to love is to have eternal life working in us. But in this section, John is really keen to define what love is and to show his readers how we know what love is. And I think this is really clever and really significant, because how do we see something that's really hard to see? And love is often really hard to see. And John is wanting to address that. And in fact, there are three key questions that John is wanting to address as he speaks to us about how we can see love that often is so hard to see. And the first question is this: what is the connection between love and God? The second question that John is seeking to answer is, what is the basis of our love for other people? And the third question is, what effects show up in the lives of other people who display this kind of love? So we're going to get into this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. And it says this: dear friends, and he starts with this, dear friends. And he's saying here, lean in. Lean in, my friends. I really want you to hear this. This is really important. He says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. John tells us that love originates from God himself. And this picture of the origin, the source of love, weaves its way all the way through the next few verses. But what we also see is that God doesn't force us to love. Let us love one another, for love comes from God. God doesn't force us to love. He seeks instead to lead us and to encourage us and to inspire us to love by following his example. Obedience in the path of love isn't encouraged with threats or even commands, but rather it's encouraged through inspiration. God's inspiring love compels us, or should compel us, to love other people. And then he goes on to say, even in this same verse, verse 7, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. You see, love is connected to an ongoing awareness of who God is. And people who love know God. And he goes on to say in verse 8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is really important. You know, this is the nature and the character of God. Love. God is love. Love is the very essence of the being of God. It's not something that God does. It's who he is. He is love. But there is also a warning here that love is a true test of spiritual maturity. To claim to be close to God and to be following Jesus without demonstrating that with love is a lie. And actually, John says you can't truly know God or claim to know God without love. To be growing in relationship with God will be evidenced by a growing capacity for love and a growing willingness to invest the precious commodity of our love into the lives of others. If God is love, how do we know that? How do we really see that? It's all very well to say, well, God is love, but it's tough if we can't see God or see love. So how do we know this? Well, John tells us, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is God's graphic demonstration of love. This is how we see love and how we see God. And this word showed is really interesting. Now, in the original language that John wrote this in, which was ancient Greek, he uses a word, phanero, which we translate as showed. Now, that word literally means revealed, or the disclosure of things that were formerly hidden. See, we're being told here that Jesus is the revealing and unveiling of God's heart. You know, if you were with us a little bit earlier, Chris Jules was sharing with us the responses we'd had to this week's social media challenge, which was about what is it that you love about Jesus? Why do you follow Jesus? Well, this would be my answer here, because it's how I know God and how I can see God and how I can see love. This is why I follow Jesus, because God revealed his love. God opened his heart when he sent Jesus and said, this is love. The sending of Jesus allows us to see into the very heart of God. It reveals and unveils to us God's nature and character. And what do we see there? We see love. And that love is never more graphically displayed than when Jesus, God's Son, went to the cross. It's never so more shown to us than when Jesus went to the cross and hung there with arms open wide as an expression of love for all of humanity. And the sending of Jesus, this overture of love, is intended so that we might live. So that we might live. Standing at the foot of the cross, gazing up at the sacrifice that God and Jesus were prepared to make, the lengths that they were prepared to go to reveal love to the world, it should be impossible for us not to be moved by the potential for that love to change us and to change the world. And I just want to say, if you're not a Christian, you're so welcome with us. If you're exploring faith, you are so welcome. We hope this is really helpful to you, all of this live stream. But what I want to say is, this is why we are passionate about Jesus. This is why Jesus is such a big deal. If you want to find faith, if you want to find the answers to the questions about the meaning and purpose of life, if you want to find the answer to that question is there someone who loves me? Is there something bigger than what I'm experiencing in my life? The answer is found in Jesus, and if you stand at the foot of the cross and you gaze metaphorically up at the cross and you see the Son of God hanging there as an expression of love, then you get to the heart of what the Christian faith is all about. You get to the heart of who we believe God is. You get to the heart of who Jesus is, and this is why Jesus is such a big deal. And it's my belief, if you have a genuine desire to find God, and you start by looking at the cross of Jesus, you will find him there. And if you need help with that, please just get in touch with us. We can help you. Just direct message us, whichever way that's helpful to you. But this is why Jesus is such a big deal. This is why we talk about him so much. This is what sets the Christian faith apart from so many other faiths and worldviews. The belief that we can see God because we can see Jesus. And this is why the Bible is so important to us. This is why week by week we pick sections of it and we talk about it. And we talk about those people who were eyewitnesses to the life of Jesus, those people who were inspired by Jesus, the prophecies that there were about Jesus in the Old Testament part of the Bible, the way that the whole of God's story led up to the sending of Jesus. This is why this Bible is so important to us, because it tells us about all of those things. It tells us about Jesus, including these eyewitness accounts from people like John. So we go on into verse 11, and John starts again. Dear friends, he's saying, come on, lean in again here. This is really, really important stuff I'm talking about. Lean in. Dear friends, John is passionate about this. He's got something so important that he wants to tell everyone. Lean in. And he goes on to say, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This word since implies that this is a natural outworking of seeing the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross is that we should love others. Since God revealed and unveiled his love for us and his heart and his character in Jesus, so also we ought to love other people. And one another here doesn't just mean people who are like us. It doesn't just mean people who look like us or who are around us or who act like us. It doesn't just mean Christians. If we're Christians, it doesn't just mean loving other Christians. No, because Jesus' sacrifice was for everyone, including those who don't yet know God. So, dear friends, we ought to love other people. We ought to love one another. See, the source of the Christian faith is this belief that in Jesus, the one true God has revealed himself as love in the flesh. And those who profess that faith and believe it and embrace it as their source of hope and life must reveal the same thing in the world and to a world that so desperately needs hope and life. Love in the flesh must be the badge that the Christian community wears, not only as a sign of who they are, but of who God is. But there is something more. You know, God lives in us when we love. Love that is inspired by God makes God a tangible reality, faith in the flesh. This is how we make the invisible God visible in the world, John's telling us. We don't know what God looks like and who he is until we look at Jesus. And by sending his Son, God made it possible for us to know what he is like, to see him. But now John takes it a step further and sets a fresh challenge to those who claim to follow Jesus. He says this, people who don't know who God is won't know until they see him revealed in the life of Jesus' followers, until his love is made complete in us. The world won't know what God is like until God sees the love of Jesus revealed in those of us who are Jesus' followers. What God began in Jesus, he wants to complete in and through us. And that is a mind-boggling thought. So I'm just going to say it again. Even as I sit here talking, it's blowing my mind. And I wrote this down. What God began in Jesus, he wants to complete in and through us. As Jesus revealed God to the world, so must those who follow Jesus. That's how important this is. Well, how do we do that? What are our next steps? Well, I want to suggest to you that it's all about attitude and intention, because very little happens in our lives without intention. It's all very well to listen to all this kind of stuff on a live stream like this and to nod along with it and to agree with it, but unless we get intentional about demonstrating love, then it's not going to happen. And to grow in our capacity to demonstrate love needs intention. It's no exception to that rule that very little happens in our life without intention. So I want to say, here are four things I think we need to be intentional about, and they build one to another, they're sequential. I think number one, we have to be intentional about our connection to the one who first loved us. We have to be intentional about standing at the foot of the cross and seeing Jesus and his great demonstration of love and being reminded over and over again about that. It's why connecting in a service like this is so important. It's one of the reasons, the many reasons, why we sing songs that we call worship songs, because they're a way of reminding us who God is and what he has done for us, and a way of connecting us with God. That's why we do it. And that's why, even though it's a bit weird at the moment because we're not all together and we're in our different rooms, that's why we still persist with sung musical worship. Because we believe wherever we are, if we're engaging with it, however we're engaging with it, it's connecting us to God, it's reminding us who God is, and it's being intentional about that. And that's the first step. Number two, we have to be intentional about having eyes to see the opportunities for demonstrations of love. Once we're connected to God, to the source of love, then we have to open our eyes to see as God sees and to see people as God sees them and to look for those opportunities. We have to start each day by saying, God, I'm reconnecting with you today and I want you to show me how I can demonstrate love today. Number three, we have to intentionally grab hold of those opportunities once we've seen them, those opportunities for a simple demonstration of love. And number four, we have to intentionally make sacrifices. And love often requires sacrifice for us to step into it. So four, being intentional about that, I think, help us grow in love. Connecting to the one who first loved us, having eyes to see the opportunities as God would see them, grabbing those opportunities and making sacrifices to enable them to happen. And we want to start right now. So in just a minute, we're going to make space for each of us watching this, whenever and wherever we are watching it, to start right now with a simple act of love. All over our communities, wherever we are, there are people who have been serving us in all kinds of ways. Often we mention them and we talk about them as key workers, health workers, teachers, school staff, emergency services workers, and on, people for whom this season has been more stressful and difficult than even it is in normal days. How amazing would it be if every single one of us sent a note to someone in one of those roles today to say thank you. Wouldn't that be a really simple act of love? One that could have an amazing impact, because I guarantee that the people in those roles get more criticism than they get thanks. Seems to be the way of our world these days. And in God's economy, this is how we are rich. Being rich in good deeds, giving, serving, and demonstrating love. And you know, there is no better investment of the precious commodities that we have in our lives than to be investing in being rich in good deeds, generosity, giving, serving, and demonstrating love. So in just a moment, I'm going to explain about how we can make that thank you card a reality. But before I do so, I'm going to pray, and then I'll explain all about it. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you that your heart's desire for us is that we would be rich in the things that really matter, that we would have a life marked out by love and balance and purpose and the strength to endure and faith and purpose. Lord God, forgive us for where we have invested the precious commodities of our time, our energy, our hope, our material resources, and our love into things that ultimately are temporary and don't really matter. Help us to invest them in the things that really make a difference. Thank you that you first loved us And we can see that when we gaze at the cross and the sacrifice that Jesus made for our sins so that we could be forgiven and set free. Help us as we reconnect over and over again to you, the source of love, to that sacrifice that Jesus made, to be growing in our capacity for love for other people. Help us to have eyes that are open. Help us to grab hold of the opportunities for simple demonstrations of love. And help us to be intentional about the sacrifices that might be needed to make that happen. We thank you for the demonstrations of love we've been on the receiving end of and how they have changed and impacted our lives. Help us to be the people who demonstrate love that can change and impact other people's lives, we pray. Amen. So folks, earlier this week we sent out a notelet card that you could print off and that you could write a thank you on. And maybe if you didn't get that, you've grabbed a notelet card this morning, or maybe you can just do that right now. Or maybe if you'd rather do that digitally, you can do that on a digital link through the images that we've shared on Facebook, and there's a link going into the live chat right now that you can click on, and you can send a digital thank you if you'd rather do that too. However you're going to do it, we want to take 2 minutes right now to give you the time to write that thank you note and to get it done, because we know what it's like, that you can have the best intentions in the world and then life crowds in, and as soon as this is all finished, you're off to the next thing, and we forget, you forget, I forget. So we're going to do that intentionally right now. So wherever you are, whenever you're watching this, would you take those 2 minutes right now to write that card? And whilst you do that, a little video is going to come up with a countdown clock on it. We'll be back again in 2 minutes. But let's take the opportunity to demonstrate love in people's lives. So write that note to a key worker, to somebody you just want to say thank you to in one of those sectors that we've talked about, and then you can send it after this has finished. Let's do that right now. Hey, great job, everyone. Thank you so much for doing that. I've just had this great picture as we've been sitting here in the room while you've been doing that, of all of those notes making their way to all of those people and the love that they will communicate to people. So really hope you'll take that note, you'll get it in the post, you'll deliver it however you're going to do it. Are you going to do it digitally if you're going to do it that way, to someone just to say thank you. You have no idea of the impact that could have in somebody's life.